Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Welcome back to another programme and welcome back to a special guest whom we've had here before on the Holy Half Hour. It's Mr. Neil Gibson. You may remember we interviewed him with regard to his accordion playing, because Neil is quite a musician. He's a man of many talents, in fact, a diamond with many facets, a gem of a guy with many aspects to his character. He's a musician, artist, gardener, handyman. He can turn his hand to almost anything. He's a bit of an inventor, a distinguished businessman, but retired now, and a carer for Betty, his wife, and a church member. Neil faithfully records all our church services week in, week out. The list goes on and on. I've known him for 13 years now, and he never ceases to surprise me with more and more hidden talents. Just recently, he said he was replacing his old computer with a new one. Then it turned out he was very attached to his old one because he had built it himself. So I personally would like to thank Neil for making copies of every single Holy Half Hour, and there's nearly 300 of them now, so that they can be freely circulated all round the world. Copies are available free at Saltcoats North Parish Church, and you can download any on my website, reverendalecbnoble.com. Anyway, it's time to meet the man himself. So welcome, Neil, and thanks for coming to the studio to be with us again. So how are you today?
I'm very well, Alec, and it's a pleasure to be here again to speak to you and Louis at the other side of the recording.
So, what have you been up to these days? Any special projects at the moment?
Well, not really. No. My big project is looking after my wife. I'm a carer now, and she's unable to walk properly, so we're trying to get her back on her feet again.
But you were talking to me about you're going to make a DVD film of the good old days or something?
Well, one of the ones that I'm working on just now is... The fact that the Saltcoats Harbour is unused at the moment. Nobody uses it for boats anymore. It was a very, very popular place for fishing. As you know, Saltcoats is a famous fishing port in one time. I thought I would make a film because I already have a lot of films of festivals and the angling aspect of it. I've got plenty of material to work on. It's just a case of putting it in order now and making a proper film out of it and try and encourage any local people that want to get back into boating and fishing to get back down to this good harbour of ours.
Well, we'll look forward to that. I was in your house just recently and you said to me, listen to this. Then you played an amazing track. It's even more amazing when you know the story behind it. So without giving any more information away at the moment, let me play it to you so that you can share the Susan Boyle moment that I experienced. I'm sure you'll like this. I'll just play a little bit, then when Neil explains the background, we can listen to the whole song with a deeper appreciation.
Your beauty is beyond Your smiles are like a breath of spring. Your voice is soft like summer rain. And I cannot compete with you, Jolene.
So, let's pause here for a moment. It's a great version of a well-known song, but can you explain to our listeners what's the background to this that makes this super special?
Well, this song, along with a few others that we have, is we have to remember there's only two people involved in all the music and all the singing. That's my son, Neil Gibson, and a girl from Ardrossan by the name of June Milligan. It started off that June was spotted at some time to be a professional singer, and she was looking for backing for her songs, and this was how she and Neil got together. And she was frequenting coming up to our house where we used to record things in our upstairs bedroom using only a sound on sound recorder, which is pretty hard to manipulate that.
You mean a tape recorder?
An ordinary tape recorder, yeah. A big one.
But, so it's two folk in the bedroom with an ordinary tape recorder, and it's 30 years ago now?
32 or 33 years, yes.
Yeah. So we've salvaged this tape, put it onto CD, and that's what you're hearing now. This is your son, Neil, and June Milligan playing Jolene.
There's nothing I can do to keep you crying when you call us your name, Jolene. I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what it means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 Jolene. Now you could have your choice of man, but I could never love again. He's the only one for me, Jolene. And I had to have this talk with you. My happiness depends on you, on whatever you decide to do, Jolene. Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm begging of you, please. My man, Jolene, 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 Jolene. Please don't change it just because you can. Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm begging of you, please don't change my man.
Wow, that was some track there. So tell us a wee bit more about June Milligan, the singer here.
Well, June's a girl singer from Ardrossan. We were approached by June to see if we could work together to provide backing for one or two songs that she sings for an agent that was coming up from England. And he was going to visit a club that we play in Ardrossan, the Dockers Club, which had the facilities to let him have a night and listen to what she really sounds like. So she came up to our house a few times, and Neil put together the backing for a few of the songs that she sings, and she picked out two or three of the songs, and that's the ones that we played in the Dockers Club.
And what was she signed up when you got your demo tape? Did it work?
Well, when the guy was in the club that night, and June approached me, and she was over the moon, as they say, because she was he had heard her singing two songs or three songs, and he was delighted with her voice, and he booked her right away. And that was her telling me that she was now going to be a professional singer.
And am I right in thinking she became his boyfriend, girlfriend?
No. This was just the agent that was listening to her for probably the first time. The boyfriend, as you say, at the time was actually a photographer, I believe. He was going with her anyway to be her manager. That's right. All I knew about him.
So June went off to England, became a professional singer, onwards and upwards in her career.
Yeah, she was touring, and one of the things that I remember, when she come home at times, she always come up to see us and tell us how things were going. And if we were playing in a suitable venue that weekend, she would come out and sing with us.
And the other person on that amazing recording was your son, Neil. Let's listen to your next little gem, and we'll focus on Neil Jr. Tell us slightly something about him at the moment.
Well, Neil was an accordion player when he was a young boy. I put him to music and accordion, along with the other member of our band, Gavin Plew, and the two of them went faithfully and learned the accordion. So that was, we had three accordion players in the family, and they were good. Gavin still plays the accordion. Then both of them switched to guitars. That was the thing at the time. Everybody wanted to play a guitar, so the boys switched to guitars. Neil went to the electric guitar, and Gavin stuck with the bass. He played bass guitar, and that gave us a band. That was us, had two guitars, and I played the organ. So
this next piece, this is just your son, Neil, playing all on his own in the bedroom on a tape recorder.
Neil spent most of his time, free time, doing recording in the bedroom, doing all the songs, and there was plenty of them, and he only had his tape recorder. He had nothing else, and he could play so many instruments. By that time, in the 2 or 3 years that had elapsed, he could play and back himself.
So he joined your band about 18, and this is him now at 22.
Right.
And this is 30 years ago.
Thank you.
It's amazing to think that's one person in a bedroom. It sounds like in a big hall, and it sounds like several people. How does he do all that?
It was just a case that when he was up in his bedroom doing these recordings, it was a great way for him to learn and to bring in parts of the music and really get with the music. He just had to do it because he was the only one there. He was on his own at that stage. And it was we could sit and listen to see how he's getting on.
How does it feel to you, Neil, listening to your son, Neil? Because that's going back into a time warp 30 years ago, and there was a tragic circumstance with Neil. Would you like to share a wee bit about that?
Well, Neil was killed in a road crash and an accident. And
just a couple of years after that, was it?
Right, yes, when he was 24. It was tragic for everybody concerned, and that was me, had lost him. And it was a long while before I could even go back to playing music. But when I did go back to it, I found that I could look up some of the recordings that we had done, him, himself, and us all together as a band. And it was marvellous to have these recordings, just to be able to play them.
Right. I mean, at first you couldn't face it, listening to them.
No.
But after a while it was a comfort.
Nearly 3 years, I couldn't play anything.
Yeah.
And then I says, well, I've got them, I'm going to listen to them. And that was it. And it came back and I started playing again and building up the band again, and that was it.
Yeah. And sitting right now, 30 years on, it is a comfort to you to hear
this.
Oh,
definitely. I play them all the time.
And that's the reason we're recording them today. It's to share that preciousness with everybody else, yeah.
When I was sitting listening to them and on many, many occasions, I just says, well, it's great to listen to that talent that's not there anymore, and I think that it'd be nice that other people could sit and listen to it if it was available.
If he hadn't had the car crash, you might have gone on to quite a career in music.
Marvellous. It was so good.
The way I see it, we're all like snowflakes on a dike. We're here for a moment and then we melt away, no matter how old we are. But through the wonders of technology, we can capture the snowflake and freeze it and play the sound of his voice and revisit the special moment over and over again. It's a real privilege and very moving for us right now to be sharing in your father-son memory. So let's listen again with Neil Sr. to another piece of music played by Neil Gibson Jr. This is Searching for Love. Thank you. once again, that's quite a track, some playing. Can you explain, Neil, just so we can understand even better what's special and going on in that track?
Well, that was a song that was made famous by Hazel Dean in the early 80s, used, I think, as a disco number. And it was a pretty strong number. And Neil always went for these numbers to get the effect on the guitar. And the guitar that he's playing there is a synthesized guitar. And I'd just like to say that there's no gimmicks in it. He's playing this guitar and he's playing that number right off the cuff. One play, no adding bits in and no stopping and starting.
That's
and
amazing.
That was how he played that guitar. It's a very complicated guitar that you had to play. It had a few wee pedals at your feet to bring in certain effects, but you had to do it yourself.
And he always played one take. He never re-recorded nothing.
He very, very rarely had to even think about playing again. Everything, all his backing was excellent backing. He was great at it. How he did it, I don't know.
It must have been great working together as father and son in your bands when you were playing.
Well, one of the things that was great about it was that I never had to tell him what to do. And both him and my nephew Gavin were the same. When we played as a trio, we could just play. We just never seemed to...
The music never stopped. It was seamless, one track into the next.
Yeah, we could play.
So how did the other two know what you were now going to do next?
I don't know.
Just catch you up in one bar or something?
I don't know. We just had a nod of the head or a stamp of the feet or a touch of a key and we were on to another tune. I don't know how we did it, but we did it anyway.
You did your rehearsing in the house, and sometimes he would go upstairs to do the arrangement and come back down in 2 minutes and...
Well,
liked what he'd done.
One of the things that nobody would believe is that Neil and I never practiced together, nor Gavin and I. Gavin and Neil practiced together, and I never practiced with them. I practiced myself, and they practiced, and then we just seemed to put the thing together while we were playing. I don't know how it was done, but that was what we did anyway.
Is there a reason why you never practiced, given you lived at the same house?
I don't know, it saved any fighting.
But when you're out performing, you were such a close-knit unit, you were blood relatives, but you seemed to musically just be on the same wavelength. You did your playing at the Ardeer Recreation Club in Stevenston and the Dockers Club in Ardrossan and Masonic Clubs in Ardrossan and Saltcoast, is that right?
Well, the Ardeer Recreation Club was... I knew nearly all the people in the halls, but I liked the Ardeer Club because the halls were good, and we got the use of the hall when it was not being used for practicing. Ended up that we were practicing a certain night every week. I was always asked if I would just come in and play at some of their nights, and I would never do it. I didn't do it for about nearly 2 years. We practiced up there for about 2 years before we got all our songs together, and I mean a lot. But what we did was, while we were practicing, the local dancing club in the rec, they asked if they could come in and do their practice dancing. And it was arranged that as long as they didn't ask us to play certain things for them, they went along with us and just danced as we were playing.
So they were dancing to your practice,
to
not
practice.
You playing for them to dance.
Right.
Yeah.
And it made us want to play better, and it was a great thing for the both of us. And it was very good. It went down great. And then we started playing in their big sing-song room, and that was good too. Right. But by then we were playing regular at Masonic clubs and... Yeah. The Dockers Club in Ardrossan.
Right, it's time, I think, for the next track, but we're not out in these venues. We're back in the bedroom with Neil and June playing in the council house bedroom. We belong.
Many times I tried to tell you, many times I cried alone. Always I'm surprised how well you cut my feelings to the bone. Don't wanna leave you, really. I've invested too much time to give you up that easy. To the doubt to complicate your mind. We belong to the light, we belong to the dark. to do with my strength anyway? Have we become a habit? Do we distort the facts? Now there's no looking forward. Now there's no turning.
Well, Neil, thank you very much for coming into the studio and taking us down memory lane and into your personal memories, and for sharing the priceless experience of hearing Neil and June, and for letting us visit their moment, and we'll be able to revisit it every time we listen to this programme again when it's on CD. And I hope that all the listeners out there enjoy listening to that music, and we've certainly been privileged to share in your private memories. So let me finish with a last track by Neil Gibson in the bedroom with his electric guitar playing Apache. It's hard to believe it's just one person on their own. Bye for now.